I listen to the Cochran Show in my underpants.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
6:11, man, and we got a busy show today. Holy mackerel! Our Chicago Bulls expert Connor Gibbs will be in here. How old's Connor?
Connor's 11. Yeah.
Bridget Gaynor will be in here. It's Fridays. We love having Bridget on. She'll be in here later. Congressman Quigley will be on later. And Andrea Darlis will be on to announce the fact that she's been thrown out of the building. Well, it's not true.
Exactly the way it came
out. She's got a great, great new gig. Dean Richards will be on live from the Star Wars convention. He's not Yoda. He's Olda. And Anna DeVonta's special appearance this morning as well, along with legendary Chicago radio producer and now entrepreneur Rick Kempfer. He's written a new book called Every Cub Ever. It's huge.
Is there like a chapter on each guy who's ever played for the Cubs?
Ever. Ed Farmer later as well. Boy, have we got two bad baseball teams. What are we going to do about this?
Cubs won last night.
What are we going to do about this?
It's early.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, I'm already over it.
Those people that stay for that rain delay last night, you go into an April 11th baseball game.
It was cold.
You know, there's people, though, honestly, there's people, this was like the old Ernie Banks thing. Ernie Banks supposedly said, and he told me he said, and maybe he did, that he owes people a performance. He said he never went out there without a smile on his face because it could be the only game that somebody goes to in their life or certainly the only game they go to in a season. So if you go there, let's say you made big plans. You're hoping for the best. And April 11th turned out to be a crap weather day. But you're there. And your dad looks at you and goes, I don't care how cold you are, we're staying.
They started the game early, too, which, I mean, think if they had started on time, it would have really gotten to be a late night. But because they knew the storms were coming, and so they moved the game up half an hour, tried to get the word out to fans ahead of time, which is prudent. But they still had about a 69-minute delay.
You know, once again, reason number 9,403,000 why we're all lucky to be in Chicago, wherever you're listening around the country. We are right in the middle of crappy weather everywhere. It's not like we dodged a bullet. I mean, it was crappy last night, but it could be so much worse.
But you remember last year in April, I think they set a record for most postponements in baseball.
Yeah, it was miserable and frozen.
And the White Sox had an entire series in Minnesota snowed out.
Yeah.
So it's not, this isn't new.
I think they didn't get a foot of snow in Minnesota, but they got a bunch.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So, all right, let's do the top 6 at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel said it here first. He said, we're billing Jesse Smollett for costing us $100,000 plus, and he did. And now, since Jesse Smollett's not paying the bill, the city of Chicago is suing him. Suing him over the police work, despite the dismissal of charges. Jesse Smollett owes the city, what is it, $112,000, Steve?
$130,000, yeah.
Can we make a deal and make it $112,000?
We could if we wanted, but yeah. We should probably go for the $130,000 and then work our way back.
$130,000 plus damages?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know the lawyer representing Jesse Smollett spoke to that individual last night briefly. And
you spoke to the individual?
Yeah, happened to run into him. And not, I'm
was
talk,
it that girl?
I'm not talking about Mark Garagos. I'm talking about somebody else.
Okay.
And they're not planning on. This is a shock. They're not planning on agreeing with the lawsuit and paying the bill. Next. April Perry, Kim Fox's chief deputy and CEO, has stepped down to join a private law firm as Kim Fox's office continues to be under a lot of scrutiny post Jussie Smollett and wonderment about whether or not it's going to be able to hold on with Kim Fox at the top. Next, former Cubs and Sox pitcher Scott Sanderson died after an extended illness. He's only 62 years old, eh?
62. Young, and he always looked young. I hadn't seen him in a while, but he would come to the Cubs convention. Really good guy, local guy from Northbrook.
Did you know he was sick?
I did not know he was sick.
And he was a member at Conway Farms.
Yeah, that's in fact, it was the club, Conway Farms, that announced his passing. But he actually filled in for Ronnie a couple times on WGN Radio and Cubs broadcasts. Hmm. And just a really good guy, well-liked, and very sad story.
Quite handsome.
God bless his family. That's awfully tough in 62, man. That's not old, as you know. Next. Jeopardy story continues. Naperville native James Holzhauer, or Holzhauer, if you prefer, extended his Jeopardy winning streak Thursday, despite getting the response wrong in Final Jeopardy. He's 34 years old. He is a professional sports gambler, lives in Las Vegas. You know, his dad lives in Naperville. We should get his dad on.
Okay.
He's added $27,190 to his winnings for a grand six-day total of $325,877, which he is planning on spending all on nickel slot machines.
He's from Naperville?
Yeah.
What high school do you think you went to?
I think he might have gone to... Well, what did you go to?
I went to Naperville North.
That's crazy. He went to Naperville North.
Just... It's the Huskies are champs, man. That's
is that the Naperville North winners?
Yeah. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
Well, he's 34.
Uh-huh.
So...
Did you know him?
I did not, but I got a couple of friends that know him that are trying to, you know, work some things out.
Try to get some money?
That's right.
Good call. Next. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are keeping the birth of their royal baby private. I'm going to go with it's a boy or a girl. Or possibly a girl or a boy, but it's going to be one of those two. They're going to share the information with the public after celebrating privately as a new family. Well, that seems right.
My husband threw out there, she's not really pregnant. She's just wearing something and they're adopting.
Oh, conspiracy theory.
Right? Oh, what kind of a whack job conspiracy theory is that?
That's do you
a
good remember one, he broke his ankle? He's been at home for two
months.
Well,
that doesn't mean he can't do it.
Some time.
That's a Jen DeSalvo in the traffic.
I think it's fair to say if the baby comes out and doesn't have a full head of red hair, then we know it's somebody else's baby.
That's right? Very true.
That is not what we are. That is not
Hold
what
on a second.
Doing.
What would the upside be to be faking the pregnancy? Because you wanted to play along? You wanted to have one of your own?
I have no idea.
Tell your husband to get out more.
Yeah. But I thought of you.
When he can walk, he will.
I thought of you, Steve, because you have a grandchild coming. And what if Ross and Lauren decided to keep the birth of this baby boy private and then decide when they could tell you that they're ready to share the news of the birth?
Oh, my God. That's not acceptable. What are you, crazy? Meghan Markle, by the way, was on Suits. And Suits is a show that Gary Cole was on for a long time. So we talked about Meghan Markle last night. No, Gary Cole did not go to the royal wedding.
Oh. Was he invited and he declined, or he wasn't even invited?
He said he wasn't invited, which anybody would say if they really wanted to be and they weren't.
Yes.
So I accused him of, you know, that. Anyway, I had a good time with Gary Cole. We'll tell you more about that later. Steve, let's go live to NASA. NASA twin study is out. Scott Kelly the one that lived in space for a year?
They both lived in space.
But who lived there for a year?
Scott Kelly was there, and Mark Kelly was here on Earth. Being tested here on Earth while Scott was being tested.
And Scott's body's different, right?
Yes. Not just his body, but his mind as well. The difference in genetic, there was genetic mutations while he was in space. And
he has antenna now, right? Little antenna that pop out of his head?
He's actually green. He turned green.
Yeah.
And also cognitive differences.
Right?
Six months later,
he was not doing well.
Right. So this is not a good development. Lots of folks who are looking at putting humans in space permanently and making a long trip to Mars are very concerned by these findings because if we can't have humans, you know, riding in space for 6 months to a year, we're going to have a problem exploring space.
Well, but see, this is why my longstanding theory makes sense. And here's my longstanding theory. The reason that we see UFOs and never hear from them is because space makes you stupid. You go in outer space, it takes away cognitive development, right? So you go in outer space. The outer space people who come here, we always go, oh, my God, they must be so much more intelligent. No, they're idiots. They come in, they see us, and they go, I'm going to stop, but I'm going to go get a pecan log from Stuckey's. And they fly off to another planet, and we never see them again. And then they want to come back, and they forget how they got here. Space makes you stupid.
That's one way to look at it.
I tell you, if you read the article, I read it in the New York Times, it's confusing because they're both Mr. Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Kelly this.
Mr. Kelly and Mr. Kelly.
Mr. Kelly are we talking about
right
here? But
Lou's first call coming up next, 312-981-7200. What's wrong with your house? 312-981-7200. Call. Be the first caller. We have stuff to give away, but more importantly, we have information from Lou, who will join us next.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time,
it's the time
of the show for Lou's First Call.
Lou Manfredini, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, buddy.
How are you doing, pal?
Fine, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
Lots of wetness out there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you suggest we do about the wetness?
Well, I mean, it isn't just about the wetness, but the cold, and everything is just being so delayed in you know, sprouting up, basically. I mean, I was walking our dogs last evening and looking around, and I'm starting to see the grass green up a little bit. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing right now is, if we can get some consistently warm weather and get that soil temperature up, we're going to start to see some growth. And you know, hopefully people have, if they planted tulips back in the fall, they're starting to see them come up. But it's just been super delayed. It's been a very odd spring so far.
Let's do a little Tiny Tim together. Ready? Tiptoe through the tulips, through the garden. No?
There's a lot of people that don't remember who Tiny Tim is.
I don't either. Betty is here. Hi, Betty.
Good morning.
Say hi to Lou, Betty.
Hi, Lou. How are you today?
I'm great. Good morning, Betty.
Betty, how can Lou help you?
Well, we have been fortunate enough to recently purchase a second home.
Nice.
And we, it's, you know, one of those living the American dreams about to retire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to get some sort of system that we could attach to both houses.
Mm-hmm.
So if, like, the power went out, or something like that, that it would alert us on the phone. And I just was wondering if you had any suggestions.
Smart power system. A smart power system, a little app on your phone, and you know what's happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a myriad of items out there. I mean, from a standpoint of power outages, that's a little bit more difficult to maneuver, because a lot of these smart devices, whether it's a smart thermostat or camera system, whatever, once the power's out, the only way you're going to know that it's out is if you go to that app and you try to turn the camera on or try and read what's going on with the thermostat. You cannot connect. Now, if you're going to put some sort of security system in this home, I don't know if that is a possibility. One of the things that many security systems and companies are doing now is they're running those systems from a cellular pack, not
electrical,
through the internet.
Yeah. Oh, and not through the internet.
No, not through the internet.
Okay.
At all.
So
they'll put a receiver on the side of the house, and it has its own battery power that also gets fed. When the power goes out, it switches to battery power, which I believe can run for either 4 or 5 days, you know, because it doesn't use a lot of energy. But that would alert you if the power was out from a remote location. I mean, the thing is that having this kind of control on a second home, I think, is really critical, because when you're not there, you want to keep an eye on it. And if you went into a system for example, the Nest thermostat system that also has the Nest camera system that can be integrated, you can have a couple of cameras set up at the home that remotely anywhere in the world, you can go to your smartphone and go, oh, there's the front yard, or there's the backyard, there's the inside of the home, and visually see that. And even those have the ability to have battery backup with a separate system. There's a system called an APC that can be used. But I think it would start with a security system that runs off cellular that has a battery backup. And if you have that professionally installed, to confuse you even more, they can put cameras in there that would be part of that same system.
And it's not cost prohibitive, right? You can make that work, can't you?
It is not. Actually, ironically, if you get a security system that you run through the internet and you pay a fee for monitoring, mm-hmm. to do the cellular service, it's the same cost. Because remember that when you go through the cable, you actually need a phone line. So you're paying,
right.
$15-$20 a month for the phone line. When you go with the cellular service, they have it all figured out, right? They're like, oh, we'll charge you the same, and we'll do the cellular. And so the numbers are about the same once it gets installed. But the cellular service thing is a good idea.
And you have won yourself a desktop indoor weather station, which is a tiny Tom Skilling who lives on a desk in your home.
Hey, buddy.
That's Peter. Everybody needs a Tom Skilling in their home.
Yeah, and this is the way it's going to work. Every morning when you wake up, you're going to, wow, good morning, Betty. Let's take a look out the window.
Will he make me coffee every morning?
Of course
I mean,
he
when
will.
I'm retired, I'm going to need that service.
He's right. Going to do whatever you need. He's Tom. Right. Brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, 60 Minute Men, 855-955 HVAC. And Betty, thank you for listening. Don't hang up, though, okay?
Okay.
All right, stand by.
Did you hear how perky she sounds?
She's
got a second home, and retirement seems like it's close.
Digging
it,
yeah.
She's like ready to live life, yeah.
That's awesome.
Got a texter in a 773, and by the way, this reminds me, because this person's texting about coyote urine, which was a band I was in. But I have an actual coyote I've trained to pee in my yard. But the texter writes, I'm using coyote urine as a perimeter to keep the skunks out of my yard, but this year I'm seeing coyotes. Maybe they live next to me. Who knows?
Oh.
So does a coyote urine attract coyotes?
Boy, that's an interesting conclusion. And I guess I would come to, sure, if I'm a coyote and I'm smelling that. I mean, look, when you walk the dogs, they're like, hey, look, a dog peed here. Let me smell that. I'm like, why would you stick your nose in that?
You know, I used that once in the garden to keep critters right. away. And I splashed a little bit on my gloved hand.
That is the absolute
worst smelling stuff you will ever come across.
Especially when you first open it.
Yeah, God.
It is so bad.
Was it Sex Panther, the cologne?
Yes, exactly.
What are you doing on TV today?
Today we're going to talk about a little lawnmower maintenance. Sooner or later we're going to be cutting our grass. And so if you haven't pulled that unit out yet, I've got some tips and for your audience. I'll tell you. What are you laughing at?
Because she looked at me because she knows I'm 12 and you said pull the unit and she knew what I was going to say next and I didn't say it.
Good. And the number one thing I can tell people is that if you have not sharpened the blade on your lawnmower ever, which most of you never have, or changed it, it is the single best thing you can do for a healthy lawn in 2019. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. And tomorrow, the House Smarts radio show will be live at Fox Home Center in Alsip. So we're having a live broadcast from 7 to 10 a.m. And the first 300 people get a free goodie bag. It's at 11150 South Cicero in Alsip.
Did I see you're serving mimosas?
And well, I won't be, but they do have mimosas and breakfast. It is these people at Fox Home Center. It is a live band. They do such a fabulous job with these remotes.
Cool.
And I'll be there. There'll be people there at 6 a.m. lining up, and it's so much fun. And so we're really looking forward to meeting everybody.
Any coyote urine in the negative?
Well, I'm going to sprinkle it around there to make sure they don't come in.
Good call,
and
buddy.
And I know I can keep Dave out and the coyotes.
You better believe it. So.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the day.
You have a great weekend.
See you. That's Lou Manfredini, and we're back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
60% of the time, it works. Every time.
Why are we so blessed?
Well, we'll get to that later, Todd. First off, some predictions from the sports fans on today's game. Pat?
Bulls, 149-23.
Carl?
Bulls, 149-52.
Todd?
Bulls, 402-0.
The Bulls.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Who can set the court on fire? Only the Bulls keep us burning with desire.
So I'm walking in, minding my own business. I'm not hurting anybody. And I hear what I believe to be Dave Ennett say that Jim Boylan might get an extension. They might be whispering about an extension with the Bulls.
Not even whispering about it. I mean, John Paxson came right out and said it yesterday that they are considering it. He's talked to the Reinsdorfs about it, and it's, as he put it, very possible.
What was the Bulls' record this year?
22-60.
Doesn't seem like the kind of thing that would get you a better deal or a longer deal.
But I do think, you know, it's mitigated the record by the fact that they didn't have, I mean, basically all of the guys, their starters were hurt. I mean,
they would have been 30-52 instead.
Well, maybe they would have been a little better if those guys were healthy. I thought when they acquired Otto Porter Jr. in that trade, everybody kind of winced a little bit, but he played well for him. He gave him a lift.
We need the Bulls to be winners,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we've brought in our Chicago Bulls expert, Connor Gibbs. Connor joins us now just prior to school. Do you have school today?
Yeah.
What grade are you in now?
Fifth.
When are you going to quit school?
Why would you ask that?
He's got a lot of years left.
What are you talking about? Connor's a genius. Connor's got to move on. I see you going maybe another year.
Okay.
I'm kidding, Connor. Of course you're going to finish school. All right, so Connor, Jim, you are an NBA expert. You love basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know it inside out.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to do with the Chicago Bulls?
I think in the offseason we should definitely trade Chris Dunn and Cristiano Felicio.
Don't go too fast.
All right, I'm writing so you're making notes? Okay.
And
what was the last guy you mentioned? Dana Felicio?
Yeah, Cristiano Felicio.
You sure that guy's on the team? Never heard of him.
Yeah, he makes too much money.
Okay.
And
Super Joe's nodding aggressively in there.
Okay,
in
the keep booth. Going, buddy.
In the draft, they probably need, or in free agency, a point guard and a big man. A lot of people think they're going to get the Jarrett Culver guy from Texas Tech.
You like that move?
I want them to get the DeAndre Hunter from Virginia.
Well, that'd be good, right?
Yeah.
Don't you want them to get Zion? Well, get the number one pick?
Yeah.
They have a 12% chance of getting it.
Yeah, I guess. If they got the number one pick, I actually wouldn't take Zion.
You wouldn't take Zion? Who would you take?
I would probably take Ja Morant or R.J. Barrett.
Well, Ja Morant, the kid from, he's spectacular.
Okay, so here we go. Connor has already figured out how to fix the Bulls, and we're talking about keeping Boylan? What are we doing? Connor, after school. All right, here's how this works, Connor. You come home after school, you see your family, you do your homework, mm-hmm. and you come downtown immediately, and you start working on the Bulls. What time's your bedtime?
Usually 9.
You're so smart. You could have this done by 8. You're back home by 9. Mm-hmm. I see him fixing the Bulls and doing all the things he needs to do and still seeing his family.
You could take that on.
I'm going to call Paxson. I'm going to get this done. Now, I can get you a lot of money for this, and I'll be your agent in this, okay? What are you making for an allowance right now?
If I, clean something, I'll get, $10.
I'm going to raise that to 11. $11.50.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And the other millions that you get, I'm going to keep it for you and hold it until you're old enough to spend it responsibly.
Okay.
I want to get back to the Ja Morant thing.
Hold on a second. I'm making a deal here.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Morant, you threw two names out there. Who else?
R.J. Barrett. He was Zion Williamson's teammate.
Yeah.
So I don't think Zion Williamson would be that good. So, in college he played pretty good because he's, athletic and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But he's only 6'6". But he has, the weight of, a big man. And
careful on the weight thing.
So if he wants to play like a big man, but he's only 6'6".
So you think the muscle in the NBA would keep him out of places that he could get to in college?
And he also can't really shoot. So if he's going to be like Michael Jordan was 6'6".
Yeah.
So, and Michael Jordan could shoot. If he wants to be like Michael Jordan, he would have to shoot. But he can't shoot.
I'll tell you what, that is the most honest assessment of Zion Williamson. Yeah. All this other, he's the second coming. Oh, he's LeBron. Not Connor. Connor's giving it to you straight.
He is. Although Michael Jordan became a better shooter over the course of his career.
Michael was a better shooter in college than Zion is now. I'm with you, man. Zion's done.
Okay. I would still take Zion.
All right. Can I talk to you about the playoffs?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the playoff picture here. Let's take a look here. What time do you have to be to school?
8:05.
What are you doing in school today?
I think we have, we're just chilling. We have standardized testing.
No, today?
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
What kind of test?
poor kid.
We have science today.
Science? You're pretty good at science?
Yeah.
You ever dissect anything?
We once dissected a flower.
That's not that. You got to dissect something that stinks, like a dead frog or something.
There was a time where Connor was obsessed with the planets in the universe, Steve Grzanich. He knew every planet. I can remember being over there. And
well, he was only nine. Let's not give him too much credit. How many planets do you know?
No, when he was young. Like, you knew every, the solar system. That was your thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right, name all the planets in the universe. Go.
Mercury?
No, I'm kidding, dude. Earth. I'm kidding. All the planets in the universe. We'd be here till Bill and Wendy plus. All right, Bucks Pistons. Who you got?
I got Bucks.
Yep. Jazz Celtics. Who you got?
Jazz.
Sorry, that was that's a mock one. And if they if they combine both conferences together.
Oh, I thought this was actually the
no, that's
the playoffs.
Yeah, that's something different. Yeah, I was just
I have them for here funsies. If you want.
All right, go ahead.
Funsies.
Okay,
I like
so
funsies.
We got Bucks, Pacers, Celtics.
Oh yeah, Pacers.
Pacers. Okay, the other Eastern Conference, Nets, Sixers.
I think Sixers. I think Sixers.
Really? Okay.
Nets did good, but I think they'll be good next year, but I think the Sixers are going to beat them.
They don't quite have the playoff experience. Mm-hmm. How about the Magic and Toronto?
I think Toronto.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. All right, in the West, you got the Clippers and Golden State.
Golden State.
Yeah. San Antonio, Denver?
I think the Spurs.
Thunder and Portland?
I think the Thunder.
Really?
Yeah.
That's starting on the Portland's
picking upsets, man.
Yeah. And how about Utah and Houston?
Houston.
All right, isn't this going to come down to the Golden State Warriors against whoever?
I think they're going to play Toronto.
Well, Toronto.
I think Toronto's going to beat the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Warriors going to win again?
Warriors, yeah.
What is this, like 15 in a row? Has there ever been a champion other than the Warriors in your lifetime? That you remember? Not really, though.
Do you think it's a big deal, Connor, that LeBron James is not in the playoffs?
Like, how
Isn't that weird?
It is pretty weird.
It's totally weird. LeBron should come over to your house and watch the games. He's not doing anything. Right?
Also, since we talked to Connor last, he wrapped his own basketball season.
Well, let me hear about that. That's way more important than this. How'd you do?
We won the consolation championship.
Well, it's fine. That's good. Kind of the NIT of your league?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, okay. And did you score?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Scored 20 points.
Nice. Wow.
We don't give sitting ovations out that often. That's pretty impressive. What's your power move? You got a little inside move, or what do you do?
No, I usually just drive into the basket and either can pass it off or score.
So you take a little physical contact, maybe?
Yeah.
Get the hoop plus one?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Do you sign autographs for the fans afterwards?
If they ask.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. you said you're in fifth grade, right?
Yeah.
What do you want to do when you're in sixth grade? Just progress?
Yeah, probably.
Show up at school?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do we talk about this? I mean, other than being an NBA superstar, what do you want to be when you grow up? Did we talk about this before?
I don't know. Just like, maybe an NBA GM would be cool.
Well, there you go.
Oh, you could pull that off.
Player
GM. Huh? Right? I don't like that at all. I like it a lot. And honestly, you should not let me represent you. Your dad should represent you.
Okay.
Because I'll bankrupt you in 2 weeks, I'm sure. Yeah, you don't need that. It's no good. Last question for our hero here, who literally, by the way, I'm not being funny about this. What you just suggested for the Bulls makes total sense. And if they don't put that into play and give you all the credit, then no one should go to a game next year. It should be crickets for the entire season at the Madhouse on Madison.
So do you think the staying with Boylan is a good idea?
Well, I mean, I think he actually did pretty good. I don't think that, I think it was a good move to fire the other guy. And
Freddie Hoiberg.
Yeah. And I think Boylan plays aggressive, and if players aren't injured and he has a good team, I think he could be a good coach.
All right, so because you said that, I'm going to give him room.
Okay.
I'm going to let him stay for now because you said that. Because, Connor, I respect you.
Mm-hmm.
Now get to school and do that well on that test. Okay. Go nail that science test.
I thought you told him to quit school.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I would never
tell a child that. You go to school and you nail that test. Thanks for coming over, buddy.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to have you. Coming up, Bridget Gaynor and Congressman Quigley. That's both next hour. Got a great, most valuable person on the planet, as usual. And you guys on the phone or text anytime at 312-981-7200. Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich next in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Hostage crisis, noodles, same principle. Both require precision timing. Neither should be rushed. Inaction only becomes untenable when more than 65% of Americans support intervention, even with casualties.
So you'd like me to tell the vice president we do nothing until then?
Waiting is not doing nothing. I choose to wait for my noodles, even though my salivary glands are crying out to me like newly hatched birds. But they will thank me because I waited until...
Veep, the final season. Season 7, and last night, I don't know, we had a nice intimate crowd of 100 folks or so. Packed crowd of 100 folks or so in that intimate room in the intimate Union League Club of the of Chicago. Part of the Lincoln Forum, or that's the Lincoln Forum event. Boy, they got a good one coming up, too. Can't tell you. Can't tell you. You can hold me down and tickle me. I'm not going to tell you. But this is a Pat Brady situation. And Pat asked me to host the Gary Cole interview last night. So Gary Cole, Chicago's own Gary Cole. Bridget Gaynor joins us now. Do you know Gary Cole? Did you ever meet him?
Never met him, but I think Veep is one of the funniest shows
tremendous.
I've ever watched. Yeah.
Definitely don't miss episode 3.
Okay.
This Sunday night.
All right.
I mentioned after watching episode 3 that Jonah must die. If you don't watch the show, Jonah's the giant just accident waiting to happen.
He's just like a ball of every inappropriate thing, but in a way that's so much funnier.
Right.
He, the last one, they had a whole thing where women were going out and saying, I never dated. He's like, no, I was inappropriate with you. We right. did date. She's like, no, you were totally appropriate. I never dated you and I never would.
A woman is trying to avoid being associated with him, and he's trying to say he was completely handsy with her.
She's
in
like,
front
no,
of, by the way, in front of his wife, who he found out was his half-sister.
Wasn't it stepsister?
You know, kind of a Woody Allen sort
rounding
of thing.
Air.
Yeah, that's what happens. But anyway, I had a good time last night. I want to thank Gary Cole again. Gary Cole came in for a question and answer situation. I did a fair amount of homework on Gary Cole and found some shows he had even forgotten he had done, including one I'll tell you about off the air. But we had a lot of fun. And I want to thank everybody that came out for that. So that was good. And a completely awkward transition here. As a lot of you may know, I spent about 5 years in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And one of the major entrepreneur businessmen there was a guy named Irwin Jacobs. And Irwin Jacobs was also a huge supporter of Special Olympics. And he and his wife were both found dead in their Orono, Minnesota home in bed this week with a gun next to them and what apparently was a murder-suicide. Irwin was 77 years old, a billionaire plus, and by all accounts a healthy guy, though his wife had some medical concerns and medical issues. His son had been running the company, but up until recently he was actively involved. And I've lost touch with him, you know, for many years, but... just a really good story of a guy who made his way and made an awful lot of money and did a lot of good with it as well. So very sad to hear about that development. He was also, Dave, I don't know if you remember, he's part owner of the Minnesota Vikings for a while. So that's a sad story. And you just always wonder why that has to be the outcome. But, you know, from my own personal experience, after losing a couple of people to suicide, be careful how you judge because you don't know until you know. And it's just too easy to assume, and none of us should.
Except for the murder part.
Well, don't we usually find, and I'm not, you know, again, we don't know, but don't we usually find that there's an agreement?
In a murder-suicide?
Yeah.
Do we?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I don't track that many cases, so I probably recuse myself from having too much opinion on that. But I didn't know that they were usually a joint.
Yeah, as somebody who covers a lot of these, I think that's probably a stretch to say that.
That they're...
That's usually that's an innocent victim who's killed in one of those...
Well, then, in that case, then, you'd find out why, in all likelihood, somebody thought they had to do that.
Right. Yeah, usually there's some reason, whether it be a sane reason or a crazy reason.
Generally, I think if you kill somebody, it's you got a little bit of crazy going on.
Right.
Yeah.
I just want to know, you know, I know that's what this appears to be, but are you on the suspect list of possible foul play?
In general, no.
Okay.
No.
We're out of town. So
I got along with Irwin Jacobs just fine. You know, didn't know him well, but I had the distinct honor of being the MC for the International Special Olympics many years ago. and Irwin Jacobs was nice enough to introduce me and bring me into that thing. And that was, you know, a great deal of fun. I mean, you know, you're talking about the Kennedy family started this. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the surviving Kennedy family members were there then.
Well, plus Ann Burke.
Yes, exactly.
Park District.
That's exactly right. And that was the night where Arnold Schwarzenegger, this is long before we found out about the maid, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver were backstage, and Arnold Schwarzenegger came up to me and poked me in the stomach and said, "Hey, Steve, nice bicep."
Seriously?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we laughed. We had a good laugh.
Oh, that's, look at that. That's funny.
And Warren Beatty, this is 20 years ago, Warren Beatty, standing next to me talking about women. You know, it's Warren Beatty, and I normally do.
Sure. Well, two guys who've excelled in certain areas came to you for those specific things.
Right.
So you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's kind of a fascinating guy to me. You move here, you kind of learn the language, not completely, but like you're halfway there. You become famous for lifting weights.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Who saw the path?
Mm-hmm.
You know. But you're famous for lifting weights. Then you're like, you know, I think I'm going to be an actor, even though I can't, mm-hmm. no one understands what I'm
barely
saying.
Barely speak the language.
Can barely speak the language. You know what I'm going to do then? I think I'm going to marry, I don't know.
A Kennedy.
Famous lady.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'll be the governor of a state that's like a country.
He never said no. He never said no. He never listened to no.
And it all comes crashing down with the maid. You know, you're like, all that was going in the right direction, and then... Here you go. Maybe he thought, I did those things, I should get a pass.
But, I don't need to fight for your team on this, but everything your team thinks about men turns out to be true, right? And all you have to do is go Jeff Bezos. You know, you got all the money in the world, and it turns out you wanted, you allow a good portion of that and your reputation to go away because you just can't control yourself.
Well, yeah, impulse control issues are a common trait. I think there's a lot of males who put that in the American dream category. I can have married and have a perfect life and also do whatever I want.
I don't know. I think there's that, but there's also moments of stupid.
Yeah.
Lapses of stupid that turn into larger moments of stupid.
If he didn't have a kid with the maid, though, like if they didn't have a child from that, I think it would be like, eh. He had, you know, like, it would be less. I'm still going to go with the happens in your own house. You know, I mean, like, if you're going to have
I'm not convinced
of stupid, have some logistics of going somewhere. You can clearly afford a hotel. So,
right.
I mean, like, you know, take a, it's, yeah.
Well, that's the Bill Clinton argument, too. Really? In the Oval Office? You got 19 guys who walk around protecting you all day?
The president's really busy. Like, Arnold Schwarzenegger is not as big. Like, his schedule is not as kind of constrained. If you're Bill Clinton, you have a schedule that someone is keeping you to. You don't have a lot of time. If you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, you probably have a lot of time.
I just think if Yasser Arafat is waiting for you in another room, I don't know how it's an intimate moment anyway.
Maybe because Yasser Arafat is waiting for you in another room. It takes the next level, Bridget. I see what you're saying. Stakes are higher, and you know, the options are, you know, what do they say? Most people are as loyal as their options. You know, I mean, he had a lot of options.
Yeah. This is where, by the late 90s again, where women are fighting for Bill Clinton, and I'm going, the guy was a jerk.
I'm not fighting for him.
I get it.
Just creating some context.
No, I get it. Coming up, we got a great MVPP here next, and also Congressman Quigley's coming up, and I got plenty to talk to him about. Here in a few minutes as well, as we continue to wonder what country we're living in and how upside down we are.
Right. So again, not to go back to Bill Clinton, but doesn't it make it look like a little bit of child's play?
It's just, you know what we talked about last night with Gary Cole, Veep, to bring it full circle?
Yeah.
Like,
to create some continuity in this conversation.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. But House of Cards was great in its first 3-4 seasons because you went, wow, that's unbelievable. That could never happen. And then Trump gets elected, and House of Cards hit a brick wall. They couldn't figure out what to write. Now, forget about what happened to Kevin Spacey.
Mm-hmm.
And then a show like Scandal. Scandal was wacky.
Right.
But Scandal had to go next level wacky then to take it up to the next level. The thing I like about Veep has figured out a way in their 30-minute little chunk of the week to not have to blow up the show.
Yeah.
You know?
Homeland had the same thing, where those things were a little more far-reaching, and then they're all just exactly what's happening, and it's very uncomfortable.
So, All right, 7:21. We'll come back. MVPP next. That's Bridget Gaynor. There's Dave over there. That's Sandberg. And look, there's Steve. And there's... There's Super Joe in the other room saying, don't forget about me.
Romper, stomper, bumper, boo.
Mary Vandeveld is off today. What's she doing, by the way?
I think that she is preparing for a shower at her house.
And she told me she was...
You mean like a shower of herself? Just taking one?
Or? Yeah, she's taking all day shower. To do that.
Okay. Baby she was going to be doing some spring cleaning today to do that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That seems like a way to take a day off.
Yeah, don't you do that? Take a day off to
clean? Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
I want to come to work when there's cleaning to be... Oh, there's cleaning to be done? I got to
get out of the house.
I got to go to work. Right.
That's Jen DiSalvo as well. All right, we're back next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Michael Pope is standing by. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Michael, you're the most valuable person on the planet.
I've heard it so many times now, Steve.
It's really difficult, isn't it? Oh, the troubles.
It really is.
Oh, the pressure you're under. Michael was a Chicago bartender turned social advocate, and you were just awarded the 2018 Volunteer of the Year Award. I don't even know how you get that. How do you get to be Volunteer of the Year?
It was pretty special. I didn't even know the award existed when I received it, but basically throughout all the Ronald McDonald houses in the greater Chicagoland area, which is over 800 volunteers, I was chosen by my peers to be Volunteer of the Year 2018. It's pretty special.
It's pretty cool. And you wanted to make sure we knew that this is 2019 National Volunteer Week, right?
Absolutely, all week long.
All right, so what do we do?
Well, basically, if you're looking to volunteer with Ronald McDonald House, there's a couple different ways you can do it. We have houses located throughout greater Chicagoland, from Oaklawn, Oak Brook, DuPage, Wheaton. Anywhere there's a children's hospital, there's a Ronald McDonald House that you can reach out to. And we do everything from meal groups, cookie groups, cleaning. There's all kinds of chores that these houses need. And with only a few employees at each house, volunteers are catamount.
I've done some of the cookie baking for a cookie team, and it's hugely gratifying. Michael, you were a bartender, and then you just decided to get into this?
Yeah, basically it started, I was bartending one day, and the former house director at Lori's downtown location came in for dinner. He shared with me the mission and values that Ronald McDonald House stands for, and I just knew I had to be a part of it.
You know, that it's a good point of you never know when you should be listening. Like, this is, it's not like he went to a volunteer, you know, like a fair and then decided to do, like...
Pay attention to the world.
Right. You interact with people and things come into your life that are calling you that you people miss sometimes. And if you weren't listening, look, you wouldn't be the 2018 Volunteer of the Year.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, regardless of your belief system, I call those God moments where, you know, you just get stuff put in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, in that case, you were smart enough to pick it up. There are some misconceptions about the Ronald McDonald House. It's a lot more than a place for families to stay, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's not just a nonprofit for families of sick or injured children. I mean, we've created a community where families can lean on each other for support, lean on the house itself for support and compassion. You know, we understand it's not just the child affected, but the entire family, you know, sisters, brothers. You want to keep your family together, and we provide an environment to do that.
I thank you for doing that, and I also would encourage people, whatever your passion is, look into volunteering for something related to it. Sure, it ought to be Ronald McDonald House. That'd be a great thing. But if Ronald McDonald House is not the thing that fires you up most, that doesn't make you a bad person. Just get involved. Volunteer your time. Not going to cost you anything. Absolutely. Other than your time, you're going to feel better about life.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more.
Well, you're the Volunteer of the Year. You know stuff. thanks for being on, man. Thanks for the plug, too, for this. I think it's important that people know.
Thank you so much for giving us a platform to reach out to people. This is incredible. Thank you.
All right. Hold the line if you would. That's Michael Pope, Volunteer of the Year.
I've done the cookie baking a couple of times, and no one ever suggested I was a candidate for Volunteer of the Year. So I must
say. You know, I've had your cookies in various forms, and I got to say, Cookie of the Year. Yeah, Cookie of the Year.
Baker of the Year.
Chocolate. You haven't made those for Bridget.
I haven't. I'll make some when she's in. And I was just thinking, you know, you bake them in their ovens, in their kitchen, and the families are around and things like that. And I'm not that fun of a baker. So maybe
Well, let's not kid yourself. You're not that fun in general.
I'm very, it's a task. I'm task oriented. So maybe I don't give off the the fun volunteer vibe. Like I.
So in other words, the other volunteers would back off and go, okay, just
right.
give her room.
But we had Catherine there and a girlfriend of mine and her daughter, and they interacted with the kids, and it was amazing. But I may have been a little too on task now that I'm reflecting.
Oh, you were getting that done, and you allowed them space to. Absolutely.
Okay.
We go to the Lincoln Park Shelter, which does a beautiful job, and you go and you cook dinner for 40 people, but then you also eat together. Okay. And I'm with you. Like,
it's a big deal.
Someone's got to get dinner for 40 people, and
right.
that's me.
Okay,
so it's so like an assembly line. You're moving, and everyone else then can interact because, quite frankly, they're better at that, and I'm much better at this other thing.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, everybody has their role.
Yeah, and these super thin chocolate chip cookies. Did I mention that?
You did.
7:32.
Breakfast next week.
We're going to come back. Exactly. We're going to come back with the headlines in a second. Am I right about this? Didn't you follow Quigley at the Cook County Board?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Congressman Quigley come up here in a few minutes. 7:32.
I thought more like ascended after Quigley, something like that.
Took over. Kicked him out. All of those things. That's all next. 7:20 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We continue on 7:20 WGN. I'd like to tell you we got another slow day and nothing's happening, but of course that can't be true because we don't live that life anymore. Congressman Mike Quigley joins us. Bridget Gaynor here in studio. Anna DeVlantis will come in later on. Andrea Darlis will be on as well today. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be on with my commissioner friend as well.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm great. It's, I think if you, when someone said ascended, or I wasn't sure if they meant descended, it depends on what day you go to Capitol Hill.
And yeah.
How they view this. And I miss, the public doesn't appreciate enough just how important the work the county does. Justice issues, health care issues, environmental issues. It's an amazing place to work.
I absolutely love it.
Well, it's nice of you to say, Mike, but you can't come back. You have another job now.
That's true.
All right. So listen, I've come to a kind of a conclusion on how I'm going to deal with this this continued barrage of distractions that come up every day. And that is, my mom used to say, consider the source. When somebody says something stupid, just consider the source. You know, you don't have to talk about it. You don't have to defend it. Consider the source. So when this nincompoop Devin Nunes comes out yesterday and says that the FBI was spying on President Trump when they conducted this investigation. No.
They're investigating.
They're investigating, which happens to be their job. The Federal Bureau of, not spying, it's not the FBS, the FBI. So this falls under your purview, Congressman. We've got to stop responding to the stupid, as far as I'm concerned, and let you guys handle it.
We appreciate that task.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Let's understand a few things. When we started this investigation, the first thing that President Trump suggested was that President Obama was spying on him at Trump Tower.
Right.
Now, he got that information because he woke up on a Saturday morning, saw it on Breitbart, and he tweeted it out. Never, ever documented this. Never backed off that it wasn't true. Chairman at the time, Nunes, began this investigation where all 17 entities in the intelligence community agreed with a high level of certainty, and that just doesn't happen very often, that the Russians attacked our democratic process to favor one candidate over another. And Chairman Nunes' response when the Russians attacked, and they continued to attack, was to go after the Justice Department, the FBI, and the rest of the intel community. The DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, Coates, not a liberal guy from Indiana, said that the Russians continue to do this. The red lights are still flashing. And the ranking member now, thank God, Mr. Nunes, continues his assault on our country. The Russians attacked us. Devin Nunes jumped into the fray and attacked us, too.
But this is the Roy Cohn model and the Trump move. And the idea is, you got me dead to rights on something. I claim there's something else that you have to spend your time defending, and then we forget about the original thing.
That's a good example. There's another. We have some Borks running around, too. Richard Nixon's bark. No one else would investigate something. Well, we're going to or fire somebody or do something that the president wants, never mind the hopeful independence of the Justice Department. We're going to find somebody who will carry out our dirty deed. And that's the kind of thing that's happening, not just in the Justice Department, but also in the Treasury Department. And it's very hard to watch. I hope people, when they look at this situation, recognize that the former director of the CIA, Mike Morrell, he called what the Russians did the political equivalent of 9/11. So pretty serious stuff. Having watched it for 2 years, I think the bigger threat is this president's reaction to it and its long-term impact on the independence and the integrity of the FBI, the Justice Department, and all our intelligence agencies.
Well, you mentioned Treasury as well, and that brings up another hot-button issue. There's no question the Democrats can benefit from the fact that if Donald Trump's taxes come out, it's probably going to be bad news for him. However, every candidate should release their taxes. Every candidate previously that became president or ran for president, to my knowledge, has released their taxes. States are now passing laws to make this happen. This is just like the Mueller report. If the Mueller report's so good, stop blocking its release. If your taxes have nothing to hide, then show them. I don't know why that's a leap for anybody.
Oh, this is an opaque administration, and people need to appreciate. And my goodness, Commissioner, you should understand this as well as anyone. And we come from a state where two of the last four people sitting in my office are in jail or went to jail. How many of our last governors? Transparency is the only way to win back the public's trust. They have a right to know if electeds are making the decisions based on the public interest or their own. And that's why releasing the president's information in the Mueller report matters. Again, let's understand what that means when they say this investigation began as a counterintelligence information. The FBI was questioning whether the president of the United States was compromised. And there's an extraordinary way to find that out, and that's to find out at least part of it through his tax returns. And I believe the Mueller report must have some information there. But again, Mueller's job was different. Mueller's job was to determine who to bring to justice. Our job is to find out who did this, who was involved here, and work on the counterintelligence issues.
Well, let me ask you and Bridget something, too, as public people in politics. If we live in a time that's different than any other time, and I don't mean that in a good way, but we live in a time where you can be accused of something you didn't do very easily online or other places. Because you're a public person, paid by public tax dollars, shouldn't your response be, I didn't do it, but I'm going to get behind the investigation to prove to you that I didn't do it, as opposed to, I am incensed by the accusation, how dare you, sir? Because that's not an answer.
Look, nobody likes to be accused of anything, 100%. You have to know, though, when you step into this role, you open yourself up a little bit more for that. And so,
but isn't that the fair thing, even if it's an unfair accusation?
You can be angry about it, but you also have to participate, because it's not about whether you think it's fair. It's about whether everybody who's paying your salary thinks it's fair. And so, you know, it's the way of life. I mean, that's the way it goes. Don't get into it if you can't handle it. Yeah.
Well, there's a trade-off, particularly if there are 435 people in the House. 218 have to decide whether something should become a law, and at least 51 in the Senate. So that's a lot of power, and you ought to know why those people are making their decisions. One person as president can decide whether something is a law, or an extraordinary breadth of power as a commander-in-chief and the head of multiple agencies with some of the most powerful controls in the whole world. So, you know, we're reading about Mar-a-Lago and who's visiting there. President Obama, wherever he was doing business as governor, even when it wasn't in the White House, released the travel logs. And I have a bill in Congress to do just this. The bill says wherever you're doing business, you have to release your travel logs. We're now finding out that there are very, very questionable people buying memberships there, having access to, and visiting the president or official business, and we don't know who they are. You know, there's no way we know that there's anything bad going on, but to your point, transparency helps us understand it.
Yeah, and that behavior can't be okay. We can't change the standards to that level that behavior is okay. That's the part that's just so maddening, because that's not Democrat or Republican, that's American.
Right. No, and I do believe that eventually we will pass this, and no one will be president of the United States without having released their last 6 years of tax forms. But we got absolutely no help this last week. The head of the IRS, the commissioner, and the secretary of the treasury were before the committee I chair, and I had a hard time getting them to tell me who was going to make the decision. I wasn't surprised they wouldn't do it, but clearly under the law, the secretary of treasury is not the person in charge. It is the IRS commissioner, and the IRS commissioner didn't want to answer as to what they were going to do. But it was very clear that the White House was communicating with them about the decision. And that, again, gets into the issue of an administration that's opaque, and it's just not good government.
We actually, in this world of the bizarre world we live in as well, we were told by members of the Republican side of the House that there's no way the Intelligence Committee could get an unredacted copy of the Mueller report because, you know, Congress, they'll leak it. So is there that much of a lack of discipline on the Intelligence Committee or a subcommittee of the Intelligence Committee under penalty of law that you couldn't see a bipartisan version of an unredacted Mueller memo so the public could actually know what we paid for?
I've been on the committee over 4 years now, and I will tell you that we have gotten information that is far more sensitive, classified, and that have got out more damaging than anything that could be in the Mueller report. I mean, lives are at stake. American lives are at stake with keeping that information classified. And I think they do, by and large, an excellent job. The fact that there are leaks, there have been leaks, I suspect there are leaks on drawings in ancient caves, but using that as an excuse just doesn't fly. This administration purposely or inadvertently has leaked far more information. The Nunes report, the Justice Department and the intel community said, released information in his memo to go after the FBI that they said was reckless and dangerous. So they have released information purposely to make their point. We don't want information out there, and we're not going to take their stance to do the same thing that's classified. But we handle stuff that's far more classified. It's just a way for them to keep it quiet.
It's just insane. Can you imagine in your job, whatever your job is, you go to work this morning going, you can't task me with that. I'm completely irresponsible. There's no way you trust me with that. Why would you even bring that up? I'll screw that up. I mean, nobody works that way. It's outlandish. All right, Congressman, I appreciate your time. Anything on your agenda you wanted to mention before we run out of time?
Look, I thought of you the last time the Blackhawks drafted third. I looked at the board and I said, who's this Toews guy?
Worked out okay, didn't it?
Yay, he turned out all right. We'll do that again and we'll be all right for next year. Although we're going to draft a defenseman.
Yeah, you know what? You could well be right and you know the game and still play it. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you all. Take care.
All right, bye. There you go. Congressman Mike Quigley. Yeah, I don't know if you heard Bridget ascended to the seat he once held. Yeah. 8 o'clock, get to the news in just a second. Why are we playing Todd Rundgren, Sandberg?
Because I'm going to give away some tickets. We have a pair of tickets to see Todd Rundgren at the Individualist World Tour at the intimate setting at the, and I'm going to let you say the theater.
The one that's spelled ATHENAEUM.
Anthoneum? Is that John Williams corrected me on Monday, so now I'm self-conscious. Anthoneum Theater?
Isn't it Athenium?
It's the Anthoneum.
It is the Anthoneum?
Yeah, so yeah. I think I originally called it what you just said, and then John Williams said everything.
I'd like to change it to the Athenaeum, because then I would have been right.
There's two
it's
shows.
It's your show. You
totally.
Can call it whatever
there
you want.
Totally.
April 23rd and 24th, each night is a completely different set list, and the tracks span his 50-year career. You can buy tickets at LiveNation.com.
One of the reasons it's
seventh
a completely,
caller right now.
Completely different set list, because at Todd's age, he forgot the songs he played the night before.
I want to talk to the person. If you go to both shows, call us after. I want to know, like, that's a super fan when you
yeah.
get to see the 23rd and the 24th, so.
Remember the first concert you ever went to?
I do. By
I
myself?
Do.
Like, with a friend?
By yourself? You went to a concert by yourself?
Well, like, not with my parents.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you go to concerts with your parents?
Billy Joel, okay.
I saw Billy Joel.
Bruce Springsteen?
Mm-hmm.
Linda Ronstadt.
Nice.
Yeah. In a cheerleader.
Where was it?
In a cheerleader's outfit.
You were in a cheerleader's outfit?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, no, wait, she was. No,
hold
that's
on,
right.
Hold on, Lumber. I'm
no,
getting,
wait,
I'm
wait,
getting
wait,
the
wait.
Visual.
Hold on. She was in the cheerleader's outfit.
Do you know what you were wearing?
I was 16 years old, so I'm guessing I was wearing jeans and a t-shirt. That would have been my guess.
Seventh grade, Amy Goodman, my best friend, gave me the tickets, and we both wore jean skirts, white crop shirts, and Keds with socks that had hot pink sunglass pins on them.
Dave, you were wearing that the first concert you went to.
The second.
Dave's first concert was Bing Crosby.
No, but I think my first concert was The Doors.
The Doors?
The Doors.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow. So
that.
Hendrix. I'm trying to think who else. Were all, I don't know if you've heard of any.
You
because they were
you
way
hippie.
Back
you're unbelievable. Oh, yeah. 8 o'clock hour coming up. More on entertainment in just a second.
Long, long time ago, in a galaxy far away, Naboo was under an attack. And I thought me and Qui-Gon Jinn could talk the Federation into maybe cutting them a little slack. But their response, it didn't thrill us. They locked the doors and tried to kill us. We escaped from that gas, the Met Jar Jar and Boss Nass. We took a bongo from the scene and we went to feed to see the Queen. We all wound up on Tatooine. That's where we found this boy.
And then he sang.
Oh my, my, this here Anakin guy. Maybe Vader.
Weird Al Yankovic. With an anthem for every nerd in town. Not just nerds. There's a lot of regular folks, too. And I'm not knocking nerds. Nerds run the world. I just, the Star Wars thing missed me. That's all. Star Wars thing. I was probably about 16. I'm 16. I'm looking at Linda Ronstadt in a cheerleader's outfit. I'm not going to see Star Wars. And the Star Wars convention's on. And who better than this guy to be there? It's not Yoda. It's Olda. Olda Dean Richards is.
I can't be friends with you anymore.
Because he's a Linda Ronstadt?
I don't know who you are.
I want you to announce to everybody there that they're all nerds. And
I've been telling them that already. Nerd you are.
How many people are attending this Star Wars convention at McCormick?
Yesterday they told me they were expecting about 80,000 a day here. And
well, it's a good thing that Lucas Museum didn't work out. It never would have worked here.
Who would have come to that?
Clearly people have no interest, but this is... I mean, the Star Wars convention is called the Star Wars Celebration. Brings people literally from all over the world. I talked to people from Holland this morning, from Germany, Taipei, from Italy. That they came in just for this convention today. That's how big a fan that they are. Now, you know, I am a fan. I'm not a super fan like they are a fan, but. The people that are here, they're in costumes, they've got their lightsabers, they want to get autographs, they want to get memorabilia. It's like Comic-Con just for Star Wars.
You know, the first three movies, I mean, they're great movies, great movies, tremendous movies,
right.
Tremendous movies, great cast, and then there were the 40 or 50 in between. And then the last one I liked, even though I didn't like a couple of things that were going on in it, but they were just like escapism. This is a religion to people.
This is profound to people. And people have been talking to me about how meaningful this is, how you know, it's passed down from generation to generation, that they grew up with it, and their kids and grandkids are now into it. People are talking about how reflective it is of the world situation, where, you know, the evil is you know, seemingly taking over the galaxy, and you know, people have to keep fighting for what's right, and you know, making correlations to what's going on in the politics all over the world right now. It's amazing. But Steve, when it comes right down to it, it's the biggest collection of nerds I've ever been around, and I have covered Harry Potter openings. I've covered Star Trek events. And I mean it in the nicest way possible. I think that they would also agree with me, and proudly.
Yeah, they don't
find out.
They don't it for sure.
Out? Guys, I'm live on WGN Radio right now here in Chicago. Would you consider yourself nerds?
Yeah, probably.
I heard it probably. Yeah. Oh, his fiance would call him a nerd, Steve.
Well, that was interesting. It was hard to hear him through his cowl.
Yeah.
No, these guys they have T-shirts, Star Wars T-shirts and memorabilia. But there are people here in like full stormtrooper suits, and you know, they've got the full cowled masks on. And what's the attraction for you being here today?
Just kind of the environment, all the followers, just being around everyone and doing the same stuff.
Yeah. Where did you come in from?
Indianapolis.
See, so that's not
next door.
Where did you come in from?
Rapid City, South Dakota.
Rapid City, South Dakota's in the house, Steve.
Good Lord.
Hello. Hey, Dean, have you run into, speaking of nerds, Wendy Snyder's husband yet, Jimmy Mack?
I have not. I've been looking for him, but there's right now that people started lining up at about 4 o'clock this morning, and
now what's with the lineup? Because they have tickets, don't they?
Well, there are tickets, but people want to be first to get into the exhibition hall, which opens at 10 o'clock.
You can't miss a minute.
You cannot miss a minute. People want to be here first.
Is Maury Povich there trying to determine whose father belongs to whom?
That would be a fantastic Maury Povich.
Interspecies paternity test?
Right, exactly. Okay. Right? Yeah.
You are the intergalactic father.
Are any of the stars of the movies coming in?
Well, that's the thing here. There's going to be stars all weekend long of one degree or another who will be appearing and signing autographs.
No, I mean, other than you, is there anybody there from the movies?
I'm trying to get someone who wants. I forgot to mention this to you. We're working the crowd this morning. There's like 2,000 people in this tent outside earlier today, and we're talking to people on TV. And I hear from deep inside the crowd, somebody goes, "Hey, moron!"
Oh, by the way, big development, Dean. Our friend Brad Most, who coined the term moron entertainment, he's been working on getting us a logo. He sent me a mock-up last night of the first moron logo. It's fabulous.
Fantastic, because this is going to be huge. This is going to be huge.
It's catching on like the measles.
Here's what's going on, and I think with this many nerds in one room, we have a lot of potential to grow our moron franchise here at McCormick Place.
No doubt.
Today. But the big event, I mean, there are events and sessions and panels and things going on all the way through next Monday, but today is the Episode 9 panel. This is the panel which will reveal for the first time the name of the next Star Wars movie, which is coming out in December. They are expected to show a trailer of the next Star Wars movie, and many of the filmmakers, including J.J. Abrams, and many of the stars, I'm hearing Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, Billy Dee Williams, but lots of the famous Star Wars actors are all going to be on this panel that will be at 11 o'clock today. So that's the main reason why there are literally thousands and thousands of people here already. The tickets have long been sold out for this panel for the Episode 9 thing that's going to go on at 11 o'clock today, but people are hoping the tickets will become available, but they're also going to live stream it. They're going to be showing it all over McCormick Place today, so people are here because they want to be, you know, the first to see all of that.
And by the way, Dean, coming up before 10 o'clock in Bill and Wendy, I will be giving out Bill Leff's home address and the combination to the lock that leads to his collection of priceless Star Wars toys, so people can take a break from the convention and come by and steal them.
Yeah, if, even if you don't steal them, you just want to come and play with them.
Yeah, definitely take them out of the box.
Yeah, take them out of the box. The boxes may be sealed, but feel free to open them up. If you're hungry, I know Bill keeps a pretty stocked refrigerator. Have some lunch. Help yourself to whatever you see at Bill's house.
We come back. We got some other show business things before Dean goes, including breaking news about the Trivago commercial guy.
Oh, my.
Stand by for that.
I bet my Wookiee.
We go back to Dean Richards, if in fact that's who he is. I believe he's from the dark side. Dean is at the Star Wars convention. Bridget Gaynor's here. Bridget, were you into Star Wars on any level?
I'm going to have to say a hard no on that.
Did you date a boy that was into Star Wars on any level?
Nope.
Would you have
but
not
I observed
dated
it from afar?
Would you have not dated a boy if you found out he was into Star Wars?
I don't even think it like entered my brain in enough to register. So that maybe is the worst insult I could give to Star Wars, but I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm different, I guess. I just like to watch beaches and have a good cry.
Who doesn't like to have a good cry?
Right? Come on. Dean, are you with us?
I cannot be friends with any of you anymore after this. You're all dead to me.
Is there anything else in show business going on this weekend?
Well, we've got some movies that are opening this weekend. There is Hellboy that I gave a Dean's List D. I didn't like it. It's frantic. It's loud. It's...
Well, you know, Deadpool is very funny. Completely.
So funny.
Completely incorrect politically and all that nonsense. But it's very funny. So now Hellboy comes along.
Yeah, this doesn't come close.
But
this,
it tries to be
remotely close.
Funny. You know what? Pick a lane. You know, I just... whatever. Back to you, Dean.
You know what? It's like a little kid who learns their first swear words, and they just are swearing
over and over again
for no reason whatsoever.
That's like me off the air.
That's like Steve off the air. Huge potty mouth, as we know. But it's frantic. There is really no storyline. I mean, it's just a whole mishmash of unconnected action. I was hugely disappointed with it. So I'm going to say take a pass. If you want to go see an action movie this weekend, Shazam is so much better. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be the number one movie in America this weekend. There's also actually my favorite movie of the week is called Little, that stars the little girl. I shouldn't say little girl. She's a teenager now. From the TV show Blackish, Marseille Martin.
Okay. She is so impressive, Dean, don't you think?
Say it again?
She's so impressive, what she's doing.
Oh, very much. Very much so. I mean, she's a really great actress, but has picked the right material. Check this out, though. She's the one that had the idea to do this movie of a grown woman who suddenly becomes a little girl.
But she pitched the idea when she was 10.
Yeah.
She's 14 now.
When she was 10,
she had the idea. And the adult woman is kind of a terror. You know, she terrorizes everyone. She's mm-hmm. terrible. She ends up coming back down to being a little girl. So she has less power now. So it's like that whole dynamic. But but she's like a mean girl. But she's a mean girl who grows up to be a big mean girl.
So the pitch meeting is it's a cross between Big and Mean Girls.
Right. But she has her own production company.
It's sort of the opposite of Big. It's sort of the opposite of Big. But it's clever and it's cute and it's funny. You know, I'm sure a lot of people have said, oh, if only I knew then what I know now. This movie kind of brings that whole thing to life, because in her mind, she's a grown-up adult, but she is actually a little child. So I gave that a Dean's List B. I like that movie quite a bit.
Okay.
And there's an animated movie that Zach Galifianakis is in, and Hugh Jackman and Zoe Saldana. And the name of this movie is escaping me at the moment.
It's the one with Zoe Saldana and Zach Galifianakis. That's the one.
And Hugh Jackman. That's really all you need to know since I can't remember.
Is it Missing Link, Dean?
It is Missing. Yes, it is Missing Link. Thank you. It is Missing Link. I didn't. That was not screened for me. So,
that's
may be part of the reason why I didn't. Why I didn't remember the name.
All right, now Dean's got to get back to the Enterprise or whatever ship he's on. Sandberg,
Dean, I've got one. You know, yesterday, you, Steve, and I were discussing how I was getting a new dishwasher from Apt, and how how I ordered mine online, so I missed out on the cookies that they have at Apt. So it turns out a lot of my friends are friends with the woman that runs the company that does the cookies for them.
She's the cookie lady at App?
So, yeah. So Leslie Haben is going to come in studio and bring us those cookies. So Dean, you'll have to come over that day so you can have some of the App cookies here.
That's going
to
be one of those days where Bridget goes, you know, I was just in the neighborhood. I just came over.
Is this so you get out of the other cookie talking because you were giving us some talk about your good cookies from Ronald McDonald and now you're just finding a replacement?
Now you're making good ones too. Dean, I will leave you with this. Actor Tim Williams, the face of Trivago, has been arrested for driving drunk in Houston, Texas.
Oh, no. See, that's not good.
I'm guessing this will be the end of his job with Trivago, even though Trivago is one of those words that you could say when you're drunk. I'm on Trivago. He's 52 years old. He was found in the car, passed out at the wheel. And his foot was on the brake. He was in a moving lane of traffic.
That's not good.
It's not good.
That's probably not who you want as your spokesperson for a travel company.
Although he is staying out of a car because Trivago is mostly about booking airline tickets. So maybe...
No, it's hotel, isn't it? Trivago's hotel.
It's just hotels. Yeah,
Trivago's hotel.
You know what he should have done? Gotten a hotel room instead of getting the car. So maybe it's a thing that says, look, there's a lot of reasons to get a hotel room. It's not just always travel. Maybe sometimes it's because you can't drive.
See that?
He's trying to grow the base.
See that?
He's just a guy trying to grow the
base. That's our next commercial. Hey, I was driving drunk. I should have been in a room by Trivago. And look at the price I could have gotten you.
And how much was my DUI? Look at what I could have saved.
All right,
somebody call Kim Fox.
Ooh. Yeah, and tell her what. Luke Skywalker is on line two for you. Thank you, buddy.
See ya.
All right, that's Dean Richards, live from there.
And thank you to Bridget Gaynor for joining us today.
Yes, what are you doing today?
What am I doing? Well, I thought I'd, you know.
Going over to work?
I thought I'd go to my job. I mean, it's Friday, but still, you still have to show up.
So that and thing's still happening for you, huh?
They're still paying me, so yeah. I'm still going to. I'm going to know it doesn't work out when my badge doesn't work downstairs. But for now, we're doing pretty good.
And good luck to your daughter. Big volleyball game this weekend?
Big volleyball game, fifth grade Catholic League playoff, St. Bartholomew. So,
are you a screaming mom?
Not really. Not really. I just have to stay laser focused because she has a sixth sense. If I ever happen to look away from what's happening on the court, it's the moment where she looks at me and then it's like, really? Really? Yeah. You couldn't even look at me
when I'm focused for a second?
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of video taking pressure and, you know, I want to say, why do I have to take a video? I'm here. I saw it. But, you know.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
No. All right. Well, thank you as always.
Thanks.
Next week, cookies.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Theoretically, I mean, like maybe if Mary delivers, but it's touch and go.
I don't know. All right, let's do this. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, it is, it's a big day here because we got a couple of big announcements coming up. Let me bring Andrea Darlis in here and tell her announcement's not ready yet.
Okay. Wait, this is the first time I'm a guest on the show.
How about that? Welcome back to mornings.
And she may have announced it on a few other shows, too, before getting to our show.
That's not her fault. Rob Feeder cannot be stopped.
No,
Rob Feeder picked
And Wendy and Bill can't be stopped, and Rokan can't be stopped. But other than all those shows, Justin Kaufman can't be stopped.
Well, she texted me the other night, and we had a big plan about how it was going to be announced, and then the whole thing blew up.
A big unveil was supposed to be today.
But before we announce the fact that you're pregnant with triplets.
Oh, God.
Let's first announce. Me, your mother just drove off the run.
Oh, God, I know. She's listening, too.
Let's first announce that this is the 50th anniversary coming up of The Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter, who is 107 years old and joins us now. Good morning.
Well, it's late in the morning for me because usually it's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right? How are you?
It's great to be here. I love the new studios.
Can you believe you're coming up on 20 years?
No, it's impossible.
And can you believe the show's been on for 50?
It's the longest running show, I believe, in radio.
It's unbelievable.
Great tribute to WGN.
It's unbelievable. And Charlie is wearing hip waders because that's part of the outfit that he always has to wear for the show.
And I have my duck call on. But I won't make a turkey call here and there. I've done that before, too.
I was trying to think of what do we do for you for the anniversary of the Great Outdoors? And I thought just lock you out. Just make you stand outside. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Be are like you
gonna,
going home.
Are you going to do anything special for the show?
Well, what we're doing is periodically we're doing sort of 50 years of people who've been on the show for a long time, helped build it. And obviously I inherited a show from Bill Cullerton, who was the host for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changed. When the show started, it used to be you'd call in. Where do you go fishing? It was Saturday mornings. It was the information center for the Midwest. People would want to know where to go fishing, where to go hunting. And, of course, that's not needed anymore because we have the internet and you can get that information instantly. So
right.
It's changed a lot. And but it's now much more of a national conservation show. We talk about all kinds of issues. We talk about personalities. We've had, whether it's political figures or comedians, all kinds of people on the air. So it's become really topical. So if you're interested in the outdoors and conservation, it's not anymore where to go show. It's this is what's going on in the world that you might not read on the front page of a newspaper, but which is of interest. So that's what it's become over the years, and it's a great
evolution.
And I got to thank WGN and Chevrolet, obviously, all these years for making it possible. I had to say that, you know, but that's true.
That's perfectly fine. I love Chevrolet. You know me, I'm a Chevy guy.
So it's really been great, and I thank WGN immensely. And 50 years, that's quite a milestone.
Yeah. Well, thanks for doing it for all these years.
Well, it's fun. Yeah. It really is.
And by the way, I don't want to make it sound like this is your last show.
Well, I was going to say,
I
think maybe I need to talk to somebody else if this is my last show.
Yeah. You got a meeting with the boss coming up. You're just fine.
Well, he's sitting over here in the corner, so I'm wondering why.
Yeah,
I don't see any pink slips coming out of his pocket.
No, it looks like he's on Radio Career Builder right now on his phone, though. So, the important thing is you're still having fun.
Well, the people you meet through doing this is what's one of the things that's made it so great. And I do think WGN makes a difference.
No question about it.
We've moved a lot of dials, and I think one of the greatest things we've done is help clean up the Chicago River. That started with Bill Cullerton. The whole salmon fishing industry in the Great Lakes started in large part because of WGN radio. And Bill Cullerton saying, why don't we have any fish in this lake?
Mm-hmm.
And he worked with a guy by the name of Howard Tanner in the 60s. And the next thing you know, we have some of the best salmon fishing in the world right here in Chicago. That's a credit to WGN. They really led that idea. Let's help, and they worked with. And I've worked with Mayor Daley when he was mayor. I was on sports council. We helped put the locks in to stop the Asian carp from coming into the city through the whole system that we've got now of electronic things. So we've done a lot of things that are maybe below the radar, but WGN's made it possible for this show to help make Chicago and the Midwest a better place.
And by the way, really speaking cool. of the Great Lakes, which are more than just a pretty place in the summertime. It's the lifeblood of not just Chicago, but of the Midwest, and a good portion of the country. How's the health of the Great Lakes?
The most interesting thing is we're now, once again, at nearly record high water levels. And if you remember a few years ago, we were dredging the harbors because we were at record low. The zebra mussel has wreaked havoc on the lake. It's made it gin clear. If you go out 10 miles in the lake, you can see down 50 feet. So it's changed the composition of the species enormously. The salmon are not doing as well. The trout aren't doing as well. Smallmouth bass are doing great. The lake is probably in better shape today than it's been in our lifetime from a water quality point of view. The biggest issue we have, and I talk about this on the air a lot, is when we get a lot of rain in Chicago, we still open the gates and we put raw sewage in the lake.
Yeah.
Think about that. This is 2019.
It's not helpful.
And we're still dumping water in the lake. So the lake's in great shape, much better than it's been if we could just fix
And the lake's
sewage.
A fighter.
And the lake's a fighter, and so are the fish in the lake.
Yeah.
Well, and it's even becoming more of a destination, the Great Lakes. We were just recently talking about these cruise ships that are, like, this is now an alternative to going on a Mediterranean cruise.
High-end cruises.
Yeah, very expensive.
High-end Great Lakes cruises.
So wouldn't we like to look out the window of this beautiful studio and see a cruise ship with 5,000 people about to dock at Navy Pier?
Right.
When that happens, and you look at the Chicago River, look at all the activity in the Chicago
sure.
River.
Right.
Which is why Chicago is a great place to live, and one of the the things I've believed in for a long time, and WGN has, is making the lakefront accessible. The lakefront today is not what it was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's accessible to all kinds of people, and we have wonderful fishing and wonderful opportunities, and that's what makes the Great Outdoors Show fun, because there's so, it's not just about Chicago, but it brings a lot of people here.
I just wish you were passionate about it as opposed to just phoning it in.
And the outdoors are really more important than ever now, because in a digital world where we're all connected nonstop, the precious time you can have to be away and disconnected and be a part of the outdoors is more relevant than ever.
Get your face out of your phone.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Look around. Look up. See the sky. See how beautiful it is. What time are you on?
I am on Saturday mornings at 5 o'clock. That's a good hour for you to get up and brush your teeth and listen to me.
5 a.m., Great Outdoors.
Saturday mornings.
And as I've always said to Charlie, you're my favorite show to listen to in my underpants. It's The Great Outdoors.
And I'm more information than we need, Steve.
I want to start using the phrase gin clear.
Gin clear.
I didn't know that was a phrase about water.
Dave, that's different for you, gin clear.
A gin clear pool. I'm gonna incorporate that.
I don't know what you mean.
So you can be celebrating the Great Lakes and Lake Michigan when you have your gin clear drink.
There you go.
I like it.
All right, go have your meeting. Get out of here.
Hey, it's
Charlie
great to
Potter.
See you.
Nice to see you.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming over. Happy anniversary.
It's great to have one. Thanks.
Andrea Darlis will join us in just a second, and we'll tell you what actually is going on with her, because it's pretty cool. 8:54. I have made it a policy in my maturity to support anybody who works with me or for me to say, listen, if you get a great offer, I'm not going to stand in your way. That ends today.
Right.
So, no, I'm kidding. Andrea Darlis has gotten a great offer, and she, at least in part, is leaving WGN after 20 years.
Yes, just in part. 21, actually.
21.
Just in part. I'll still be doing the reporter show on Mondays or when we are.
And available whenever I need you to drag you in here.
Yeah, of course. I'll be in anytime you want me to.
But, as Mary Vandeveld so well put it the other day, you bleed blue and orange.
I do.
You are an Illini regular at alumni meetings. You've helped with planning commission stuff, mm-hmm. board stuff. So they have literally created a position for you.
They have. I will be. And for the past week, I've had to just continuously look up the title. Because it's such
fancy.
A difficult title.
It is
I
fancy.
Looked up the title too. That's
I know.
So funny that you say.
And Dean Richards sent me a text. He's like, "This is great. This is so awesome. What does it mean?"
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm the senior director of constituent engagement.
The senior director of constituent engagement.
Yes.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to fit on a business card.
That's not.
It'll have to continue.
No,
that's
not.
Back.
You're going to need two cards.
I am here to the position's based in Chicago, so I'll just be down the street from you guys. Okay. So can't get away.
You literally are just a couple blocks away.
I'm just a few blocks away at the Illini Center. And I will be making sure that alums stay engaged, promoting the university in Chicago and its presence here, because more alums graduate from the U of I and end up in Chicago than any other state institution.
Media liaison, too?
Media liaison, public affairs, anything you need to do with the U of I.
It sounds a lot harder than the show business job that we have now.
Does Lovie Smith report to you?
Absolutely.
He does, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's got,
to him about that beard?
Oh, I'll talk to him about the team first. First of all,
well, there's that.
Got to get those
wins done.
Yeah,
I think last year, though, if you remember, there was a football game that got played at Soldier Field.
That's right,
and that U of I played in. And on Twitter, I remember all of the alumni. I was like, well, geez, if somebody would have told us, we might have considered going. You know, so
that's
that
right.
I think Andrea is going to be a perfect. She's been.
I'm going to make sure
U of I, even when we didn't want to hear. You know, like she was doing it. Anyway,
pipe down with your U of I.
Yeah, might as well.
So how often are you going to be on campus?
So I will be probably once a month.
That's it.
Once a month, I'll be down there. Yeah, we have staff meetings.
So you're going to use things called phones?
Called the internets.
And the internets?
The internets.
Well, I'm very excited for you, but this is a lot of work.
I thought so. Yeah, I thought maybe I'd be lessening my load, but Sandberg just pointed out, she's like, this might actually be more work.
I know.
You're excited.
Yeah,
The nice thing is it didn't exist before, so Andrea has the ability to craft it exactly as she wants it. So.
Right.
Well, it also shows how much they value you.
I can engage the constituents on a daily basis.
Nobody's ever created a position for me.
But you know what, though? But the U of I, and this is, you know, I'm starting my job a little early, but there's going to be a new campus in the South Loop called mm-hmm. the 78, mm-hmm. and it's been obviously just pushed through with Lincoln Yards, and that's going to be big, big presence. It's a partnership between the University of Illinois and the University of Chicago, and it's going to be just a one-of-a-kind medical facility engineering.
Wow.
It's going to be very breakthrough. So I'll come on to promote that.
Doing that is really helps accessibility for people in schooling and being able to share resources and still get quality education.
Sure.
It's such a smart move.
Absolutely.
847, Andre, I'll miss you on the air so much, but I'm an Illini too, so I'll find you anyway.
You know what's cool? I've been getting so many emails and texts from people in the business and outside of the business too who are saying, hey, you know what? I went to Illinois as well. What can I do? I want to help. I want to promote the university.
847, congrats to Andrea. She's a very hard worker. I'm happy to see this for her. Mary Pat and Niles, and the fan mail keeps coming in.
Oh, very nice.
I'm confused. That. Everybody keeps calling you Andrea. I thought maybe I've been wrong all these years. I thought it was Angela.
Oh, I know. This was the first time Dave Ennett and I worked together. This is 1997. I did my first newscast with John Williams, and I'll do my last newscast with John next Friday.
Is that right?
Yeah. Can I come back, though?
No.
It's Friday?
No, it's over.
Because I want to hang out with you guys. No. And I have presents for you.
I'm breaking
Thank
up
you,
with
Mary.
You.
Mary's put me in the schedule.
I'm breaking up with you.
No, you're not. No, you're not. So Dave Ennett tossed the news. He said, now with the news.
Angela Darlis. But Dan Filato, who was our producer, we were on a remote.
Why would you ever listen to Dan Filato?
He handed me the intro, and he scribbled this name. And I looked at it, and I could swear to this day that it said Angela. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know. We'd never met.
And I know. Fast forward to probably 2014 in Andrea's old building where she lived. She's working out. She looks over. She goes, that guy looks familiar.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mr. T.
Mr. T.
She goes over and Mr. T says, how you doing, young lady? And as you're talking to him, you introduce yourself. He introduces himself. And he says, well, you take care now. I'll see you around here, Angela.
Angela.
So he obviously was listening that day.
I think so.
And you screwed it up.
I think so.
He said, do you know Dave Ennett?
Since Dave Ennett introduced you as Angela.
Right.
By the way, that's a new impression.
Isn't it?
By the way, I miss you guys. This is so much fun. I love being a guest on the show.
You can come by anytime.
Can I come by every day? Can I stay through the next hour?
Sure. Hang around. Yeah, you know what's coming in? Your old friend Anna DeVlantis.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's an old Greek thing.
Oh, it is a Greek thing.
Yeah. You can hang around, whatever you want to do.
All right, I'm going to hang out with you guys.
It's 8:59, and again, if you need Andrea and you want to contact her, she has no idea where her office is, what her number is, any of that stuff yet.
Just email me at the station, because I'm still going to be doing the reporter show on Monday nights when there's not baseball.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, but baseball.
And weekend break, too.
But if people want to get a hold of you about Illini stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This is a perfect chance for you to plug it. So this is the best way for people to do it.
I have to get an email first.
So short term is just use the same email you've always used.
Use the same email. Get over to your radio station. Just adarlis@wgnradio.com. Okay. Okay.
Or go on social media. You're everywhere.
Yeah, just go on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, yeah, Instagram. I'm all over.
And as far as the rest of the half hour goes, one correction. Charlie Potter's A Great Outdoors Show, which he's been doing for 20 years, now celebrating his 50th year, is not on tomorrow.
It's on Sundays.
You think Charlie would have known that?
Oh, no.
He's been doing it for 20 years.
Maybe he's got some other long-running show on Saturday morning that he does.
At a different station.
I think it's the deer urine. Eventually gets into your nostrils, kills some brain cells. Sunday morning, 5 a.m., The Great Outdoor Show. All right, we'll be back in a moment. And hi to everybody on CLTV. As we got one more hour in this week before the magic continues next week on the Steve Cochran Show at 720 WGN in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Whenever I need my news update, I go to Andrea. She's Andrea Darlis, baby. She has a nose for news.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Don't let anyone say that it's just a game. For I've seen other teams and it's never the same. When you're born in Chicago, you're blessed and you're a field. The first time you walk into Wrigley Field.
So all he did was be one of the great producers in radio history. Then he went off and he's got his own publishing company. And now, Mr. Big Shot over here, Rick Kempfer's written his own book. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great to see you. We actually have a designated lunatic Cub fan here. We asked Andrea to stay because she's nuts for the Cubs.
I am.
I know she is. I've known Andrea for years.
When I heard Scott Sanderson.
Sad story.
I couldn't believe it. I had his autographed picture, his 8x10 glossy. You'll appreciate it.
Oh, all the girls like him.
He's so handsome. We were just discussing that earlier, except for Dave and Steve didn't really participate in the conversation.
He was just a beautiful.
Yeah, he was really
adorable. He was adorable.
Yes, he was, wasn't he?
And charming and really
super
kind.
Super nice.
And a good teammate, from what I'm told. 62 years old. He'd been sick for a while, but sad story and best to his family. Rick Kempfer, your new book is called what?
every cub ever.
That seems like a pretty large task to take that on.
Yeah, it took me 10 years to write it, but I have actually written a mini bio about every single player that ever played for the Cubs, going back from 1871 to 2018. Every single one. I found even guys that played one inning or, you know, threw one pitch. They're all in this book.
Well, I can think of one famous guy. One pitch, first at bat, beanball.
Yeah, that's right, Greenberg.
And Greenberg, I don't think, played in the bigs again, did he?
He had one at bat for the Marlins as kind of a publicity stunt about 6 years later, and he struck out in three pitches.
Didn't go from there.
Yeah.
Is Matt Merton in there?
Matt Merton, every single one.
Just ask.
Everyone.
Who is the toughest to track down?
So there was a guy named... There's actually three people in the book that I don't know when they died. The information is just lost in the ether. They unless they're 160-some years old walking around the streets of Chicago, I don't know what happened to them. But one of them was named Wash Williams.
Okay.
He played one game for the Cubs in, I think it was 1890 or something like that.
Okay.
And played outfield, went 1-for-4. That's all I know about him. I could not find anything else about him.
It's kind of amazing you found that.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that wasn't his name?
Yeah.
Well, you know, like if you like you adopt a different name.
I'm feeling
like
Wash is maybe a nickname.
Right. Like Rokon. I didn't know Rokon was Rokon's real name.
It is?
Yes. Roe is not short for anything.
It was Washington Williams.
Not a Cub.
There you go.
Washington Williams.
Yes.
We're already getting texters asking, Harry Cheedy?
Yeah, Harry Cheedy.
Do you know Harry Cheedy?
Yeah. Yes, he's in here.
I believe the Yankees had a third baseman who played here for about 10 seconds named Celerino Sanchez. Does that ring a bell? I could be wrong.
It does not ring a bell.
Okay, then I'm wrong.
I wrote about 2,186 of these.
And you haven't memorized every one of them?
I don't have them all memorized.
And Steve has been around a couple times today, though. So doesn't have it memorized, and you could be wrong.
Can I be wrong twice in a show?
No, I doubt that. Sweet. I doubt that would be a first. Who is your favorite all-time Cup?
Well, you know, it was Ernie. It's a boring answer, but it was Ernie.
The answer, I think, is probably the most common answer.
Yeah. I became a Cup fan in 1969. And that was, you know, Ernie was singing every day and doing the Let's Play 2, and I fell in love with the Cubs.
That was a team of stars, superstars for the day. Who was the least famous guy on that team? I'm always fascinated by the guy at the end of the bench on a big team. And part of the reason is because Steve Kerr, who's, you know, you were talking earlier this week, Sandberg, about this the nicest professional athlete you've ever known. Steve Kerr is far and away the most normal professional athlete I've ever known. He got to be a pal. Steve Kerr tells a great story about when he retired from the San Antonio Spurs. But I was already a fan of the guy at the end of the bench, and Kerr's story was he's icing his knees, and David Robinson and Tim Duncan look down and go, Kerr, what are you doing? He goes, I'm icing my knees, and they go, you haven't played yet. He goes, that's when he knew it was time to get out. So in baseball, when you got 25 guys, it's usually a middle reliever
in the
bullpen.
There was a guy named Jofre Brown who was on that team. I believe he came up at the end of 68. He only pitched in one game. And then he went to California and became a stuntman and appeared in like 175 films.
What a cool story.
He was like the fill-in for Bill Cosby on I Spy.
What a cool story.
Stuff like that. I mean, there are lots of stories like that in the book.
What are some of the other fun things you found out?
Well, you know, the thing that interested me were some of these guys were not good guys. Like, there were a couple guys that shot people. There was a kidnapper. There was, you know, a jewel thief.
None on the current team.
No, none of them on the current team. But there were also heroes. There were people that there was a guy named Larry French who was part of the D-Day invasion. Lloyd Merriman was a Korean War hero.
Wow!
Remember the Iroquois fire, the most tragic day in Chicago. Two Cubs were at that game, knocked down a door, and saved a bunch of lives of people that were in that theater.
Oh, my God.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So that's the cool thing about this. Every era of Cub fan can enjoy this book.
Yeah.
And it's digestible. They're not like pages and pages on one guy that it goes too deep there.
Right.
I'm interested. Here's one that Andrea's going to like. Rube Novotny, 1924 to 1987. He played for the Cubs in 1949. He's a product of the University of Illinois.
There that's we go. Right. ILL.
Me too.
He played in 22 games. He was a backup catcher.
What were you going to ask?
Oh, I was going to say, do you remember the Die Hard Cub Fan Club? My dad signed me up for this when I was like 5 years old. And you paid, I think back in the day, I think it was 1980-ish.
Yeah.
And you paid $5 or $10, and you got this little kit. It was like the fan club kit in the mail. You got a little card with your name on it. It was like a credit card. And then every month, you'd get a little newsletter.
Felt like hot stuff.
Oh, my God, yeah. And they'd send 8x10 glossies.
One of the guys who ran that was Tom Bosley, who was in Happy Days.
Oh, yeah.
He ran that?
Yes.
Yeah,
he was one of the guys that founded that whole Die Hard.
And George Will was part of it, too.
And George Will was part of it, too.
Mr. C.
And George Will, who is still one of the most important, used to be Republican voices in America.
Yeah.
What's your favorite story in the entire book?
Oh boy, that's tough.
There must be a Jose Cardenal story in there.
There is. So Jose Cardenal once missed a game because he said that his eyelid
was stuck.
Yeah. Stuck closed.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I remember.
So he missed a game because of that. Mm-hmm. Another time there was...
What time did the girl leave the room?
Yeah, right.
Right.
There's another time he said crickets kept him up in his hotel room and that he couldn't play the next day. So there's a lot of good Jose Cardenal.
I like there's a lot of historical notes. Don Kessinger, on the day that Jim Morrison died in a bathtub in Paris, he hit 2 home runs that season.
Right?
That's right.
A tribute.
Right.
And by the way, that's Kessinger, not Morrison.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Kessinger, not Morrison, who did it.
Dennis Lamp, on the day that the movie Animal House was released, Lamp shut out the Giants at Candlestick Park for a 1-0 Cubs win.
Where else are you going to get information like that?
How'd you find all that out?
So I actually went through history and picked all of my favorite moments in history and then looked to see what the Cubs were doing on that day. And
that's
great.
Hilarious.
It's a good tie. Yeah. It's a good narrative.
That's good.
Did you at any point get through to a point in this book where you went, what the hell am I taking on?
Oh, yeah. When I told my co-publisher that I was doing this book, his question to me was, have you ever kissed a girl? Which I think is his way of saying, what a waste of your time.
Right. Including the mother of your children?
Yes, exactly.
Yes. By the way, it took how long to do this book?
10 years.
I think it's pretty remarkable you assembled all that in 10 years.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it was a labor of love.
Is this one of the original MLB franchises?
No, there were a couple that were before the Cubs.
Cincinnati Red Stockings?
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I started with 1871, which is the season right before the fire. There was a season that they played, and then
129 years ago, what a slacker you turned out to be.
I know. And then the ballpark burned down, so they didn't play for the next two seasons, and then they started up again in 1874.
And they were the White Stockings.
And they were known as the White Stockings.
Did every team have stockings in the name initially?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Remember the Oakland...
The New York Yankee Stockings?
Yeah, remember the Oakland A's Stockings?
On the day that the movie Field of Dreams was released, Sutcliffe was on the mound for the Cubs. He beat the Mets 8-4 in Shea Stadium.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, Ron Santo's favorite stadium, right?
All right, so let's see, because, the world...
On the day that American women won the right to vote in 1919, Hippo Vaughn and the Cubs lost a 1-0 heartbreaker in the 10th inning to the Pirates.
Who doesn't know that?
Didn't Dave cover that?
Yeah. Yes, he did. Yeah.
You did the play.
What day are you leaving?
I love you.
Listener says, did Joe Pepitone wear a toupee?
He did. I interviewed Carmen Fanzone for this book, and Carmen Fanzone told me that the most disturbing thing he ever saw was the day that Joe Pepitone was in the shower without the wig on, because he always wore the wig. He was never seen without it.
Sure.
And
well, if you're
one
gonna
time
invest
in the shower, because you gotta, he said it was just, he looked 100 years old.
And when you interviewed Carmen Fanzone, did he have the trumpet?
No, but I had heard a story that Carmen Fanzone played on The Tonight Show, and so I asked him about that, and I was putting it in the book, and he said it's not true. He never played
really?
On The
just
Tonight
legend.
Show. Yes.
Listener question here from Margo. Yeah, Margo, go ahead. Margo, are you with me?
Remember Eddie Wakis?
Eddie
Wakis, sure. He was shot by a crazed fan, yes.
What's the story?
He was shot...
Hold on one sec, Margo.
He was shot by a crazed fan in 1949. He was a Cub. He was traded to the Phillies, and his first visit back to Chicago, a woman who was insane, actually they based the movie
The Natural
on this story. She saw him at his hotel and shot him.
It was at the Edgewater Hotel, right?
It was.
Yeah. Dave covered that one as well.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, whole career, I'm telling you, top flight journalist. This is out in event in May, but can we pre-order?
You can pre-order. You can go to everycubever.com. Also, eckhartspress.com is the name of my company, and we're putting it out.
Spell Eckharts.
Eckhartz press.com.
Nice. I should be proud of it, and also really tired.
And a little embarrassed.
Everycubever.com. Nice job, Rick Kempfer.
Thank you very much.
You're a lion eye, Victor Andrew High. And just as hot as habanero burning in my eye. You're from Moreland Park, and I have to say, they should name a special day for you called Darla's Day. And you host that show with that guy named Lou, and the secret known by us and Housemart's camera crew. There's no need to lie, 'cause you know it's true. With Dr. Manfredini has no clue. Behind these station walls and through these station halls, it's you, it's true. The best know the, you make us smile, you make us laugh. You're Andrea.
Doesn't it sound like a sitcom theme?
God.
Like she would show up spinning at the end.
Yeah.
Right. Toss up a hat.
Yeah, my beret.
Andrea Darlis has been indicted in the Mueller report, and she's going to prison.
No, I'm not.
Now, she took a job with the University of Illinois. She's still going to be involved in the radio station, but not as much. And she's going to be a fancy title at the University of Illinois office here in Chicago, making sure the university is promoted on every level.
Yes.
We're very happy for you.
I'm going to miss you guys. I'm going to miss seeing you every day. I'll still be listening. Now I can listen more.
Big shot university head honcho.
Oh, you guys are sweet.
Ed Farmer's here to explain to us how the White Sox are going to get it right. Good morning, Edward.
Good morning. And how are you?
I know you wanted to congratulate Andrea on her new gig in case we need her down the road.
Yeah, Andrea, best wishes to you, please.
Ed, I love you, and I have been a fan of yours. I don't know if you remember, my dad went to high school with you. He was always a very, very big fan, Southside, representing.
Is that true? Your dad was?
My dad went to high school with Ed.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
He must have been in the honors class.
Yes. Yes.
I wasn't, but he was. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so five in a row on the wrong end. This team's better than that. What are we doing?
But we're not catching the baseball, Steve. We're just not catching the baseball, and we're not playing White Sox baseball. You know, they say heads up baseball. Our heads are up somewhere else. We need to start playing baseball and catch the baseball and throw it to the right base and do the things. But this is nothing I didn't expect. I knew we were going to be young. I knew we were going to get older guys to show them. But it's a painful existence when you regenerate everything to go in one direction to get younger. You're going to make these mistakes. Thank God the people show up as they did yesterday, and or I should say 2 days ago. But when they show up, we want them to also have a good time at our ballpark. We need to play better. That's it. I mean, the talent is there. It's just so young. It's so raw. They make a mistake, and then they'll make it again, and all of a sudden they'll show you a flash. You go, he's got it, and then they go back. And that's how you grow. You get better as you play again baseball at the major league level. Guy in left field's got star qualities all over him. That's Eloy Jimenez.
Yeah, and he's hitting the ball, too. He's had a couple multi-hit, got his first extra base hit.
You see these guys start to hit, but the guy that I think is really on the surge is the guy at third base, Moncada. We moved him from second to third. Mm-hmm. Does he know how to play third yet? No, but he could play gold glove second base, but he's made the transition to play very, very solid defense at third base. But then again, his aptitude, it isn't the aptitude so much as it is the concentration. It starts to wane as the game gets longer and longer, and our pitchers need to do a better job of throwing strike one also.
Ed, when guys make errors like the White Sox have, there have been times where the pitchers, the frustration shows in their body language. How do you keep that from becoming a bigger problem than it might already be?
Well, Renteria had a meeting the other night. I don't know what they discussed. I wasn't privy to that. But, you know, you're throwing the baseball. He's doing his job. You're all in this together. You grow with that. You don't ever look at a guy and say, hey, why didn't you make the play? I mean, I told you, I had not had Gary Maddox with me when I was in Philadelphia in spring training because he was gone when I would enter the game in spring training to get ready for the season. And first day we're playing, I think it was the Mets or the Expos at Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia, and I come into the game with a tying run at third and a winning run at second, basically. And I look back, and Maddox is like 40 feet behind the bag at second. He's my center fielder. And I step off the pitching rubber, and I said, are you going back up? He goes, you do the pitching, I'll do the play in the center field. Got it? I said, sure. So I couldn't wait for them to hit a ball over his head. They didn't hit one over his head. They did not hit one over his head on that, but the next inning they did, and I turned as soon it was crushed. And I think Carter may have hit the ball, and it was crushed to center. And I turn around. He was already running. Ugh. He ran back and caught it, threw it back in. He goes, how's that? Do you like that? I said, that I like.
Exactly.
And I became best of friends, and that's how it's supposed to be. You want to congratulate him when he does something good, and you also want to be with him when he does something that's not so good, and you say, I'll pick you up. Let me get this guy out.
There you go.
That's what you're trying to do.
That's a good teammate.
Hey, Ed, I had the pleasure of attending the White Sox Beyond the Diamond event on Wednesday at the Field Museum, and it was, you know, incredible, and people with the money they're raising for childhood cancer is just really special, yes, and the relationships they developed. But I had the pleasure of sitting at the table with Yonder and Amber Alonso, and we got in a conversation about betting, and he was expressing some concern. You know, he's already experienced when fans and things get mad about the team he's playing on when they're not playing well, and then when he's a fantasy player on their team and they're not playing well, and yes, then he thinks people are going to up the ante, you know, throwing stuff at your house, etc., for the umpires, yeah, and players and coaches when there's going to be money involved. And I just want to know your thoughts on that.
You know, I've never been a gambler. My brother Tom told me one day we had our meetings in Las Vegas. I know nothing about blackjack other than it goes to 21 and if you go over 21, you're losing.
Mm-hmm.
But play roulette. And I said, okay. He goes, pick out a number. So I picked out my number. I put $5 on 22. And it was gone. And I cashed in a big $25. So I put that on there, and I go, this is the last roll I'm getting. If I roll it, I get $165 for my $5. That was the last time I ever bet on anything.
Really?
I know, yeah. I just, I'll play on the golf course, you know, for a burger or something like that.
Sure.
Give strokes. But that's other than that, yeah. Never been a gambler. Never have. Never drank, never smoked either.
Andrea, you still have a gambling problem, don't you?
I like to gamble, but I don't do it very often. Kentucky Derby's coming up.
Yeah, I know. You're a big horse winner. All right, you get last word with Ed.
And I just have to, I have to commend you too. This is a little off the diamond, but I know you are a big. I started out talking about St. Rita, and I know you are a big proponent of going back into the schools and talking to the classes.
Yes.
You were at Fenwick High School last year. I want to know how important that is. I mean, the role off the field too. You make your presence known, and I think that's in the communities and in the schools. And I think that's important for
big deal.
Athletes of today to follow that example.
I just, you know, I want to get back to what I said, experienced as a young kid. Billy Pierce lived next to my uncle, and my uncle was my godparent, and I would go over to my uncle's house, not to see him, but to see Pierce, and I would berate him with questions. I worked in the Evergreen Plaza at Vim Sporting Goods, and he would come in, and thank God his wife was so understanding. She'd leave him in there, and she'd go shopping. I'd be talking pitches thrown with one of the greats in White Sox history, Billy Pierce. So I figured if he was good enough and he was the best that I'd seen, he could go through the community and see people. Maybe I could help them out like he helped me out. The thing at Fenwick, that was a teacher that, you know, he loves taking bed and breakfast. And I said, what else? Because I love to listen to that farmer on the radio. So I called the head fryer over there. I said, I thought I'd come over. The head fryer was worse than I was. He was hiding me. You know, he took his vestment and put it over me. We were outside his door, and then I walked in and saw him. and my father went to Fenwick, and Fenwick has a place in my heart.
But it's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to give back, and you got a great idol there in the great Billy Pierce, who was a friend of mine as well. And his son.
A great person, Steve.
He really is.
As well as I do.
Yeah, and Gloria is one of the great ladies. That's Mrs. Billy Pierce. And Bob Pierce, Billy's son's a great man, got a great family. So anyway, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. All right, Eddie, get some wins this weekend.
When are we going to do the show from our booth?
Well, we're coming back. We're absolutely coming back. We're in planning sessions right now.
Wouldn't we have to be there first to come back to it?
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. Listen, get 2 out of 3 this weekend.
I'm trying to win this one tonight, and hopefully we've got the magic to do that. And let's play White Sox baseball. For everybody connected, and I'm telling you this, you guys at WGN, you do a great job, starting with Chris Flores and also Brett Jackson.
Yeah, they're good.
Tell us when to go and when to stop. You guys are great. You guys are pros. I love working with you guys, too. Whenever you need me, call me, please.
There you go. That's the great Ed Farmer. And we're back in just a second.
Walk like an Egyptian.
That Walk Like an Egyptian reference for Andrea is because of her love of that band.
I love the Bengals.
The Bengals, yeah. All right, quick story. So,
cell phone.
Well, this is the fire smoke detector. Smoke detector, CO2 detector at the house. They're all interconnected, right? Okay? And I have, 214 of them, I think. And there is one that's on a high ceiling in one of the guest bedrooms that's about 48 feet high. So it's like a Cirque du Soleil act to go up and change the battery, and that's why, Maureen did it.
Of course she did.
So it beeps like once a minute. You get the batteries changed, and then I, like a genius, go, well, we got to test it. Well, you just put new batteries in it. It's 10 o'clock at night. Why do you got to test it? Because I'm a genius. So you test it. It then triggers all the other ones it's wired in because its default setting is to change all the batteries at one time. Now we're changing the batteries in every smoke detector in the house, like at 10 o'clock last night. I'm dumping batteries out of remotes for TVs. I'm running out of AA's. Broke into the house next door to steal some AA batteries. So my advice to you is this. If you have smoke detectors that are interconnected, don't test them at 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, my God.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. And now you know. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, that's where Steve will be next.
I bet my Walkie.
You know me, it's a big weekend. I'm going to be out at the Star Wars convention all weekend.
What are you doing there, Steve? Do you have a booth set up?
Yeah. I'm Obi-Wan's older brother, Bob-Wan.
Bob-Wan Kenobi?
Bob-Wan Kenobi. Hey, never assume you know what you're talking about if you're me. So last night I go to this MC this Gary Cole situation.
Yeah.
And that was fun, by the way. Thanks, Gary Cole. And mostly thanks to Pat Brady and everybody that showed up. So we had a good time. But and linkinforum.org, make sure you support them. They got a big event coming up.
Tracy Slutskin, who really
Tracy
Slutskin
does great work.
Yeah, I promoted you, by the way, the day before.
Well, thank you for that.
Hopefully
we had a nice crowd.
That.
And Gary Cole asked some good questions of me. Oh, wait, no, it was the other way around. So I left my phone in the car. I valeted the car, and I left my phone in the car. And I go, well, that's it. It's gone. Mr. Skeptic.
Yeah.
Mr. Skeptic. I get all the way upstairs. I thought I might be running late. I never do that, as you know. And I get all the way upstairs, and they go, well, no, you got a couple minutes. I go back downstairs. Two valet guys are standing there. On my ticket, it says left phone. And the guy, before I even pull out my wallet, says, let me run upstairs where we parked the car and get your phone.
Oh.
So Mr. Skeptical.
Mr. Skeptic.
Mr. Assumption
Mr.
here.
There's nothing in the glass.
Don't be that guy.
Oh. What a happy ending.
That restores your faith in human nature.
Yes.
That and $100.
Yeah.
Then they took your car for a spin like in Ferris Bueller.
Right, right. Bam! Right off the speed bumps. Yeah, without a doubt.
This would make a great movie.
Wouldn't it?
Did you count all the golf hats, though, in the back? Make sure they didn't lift one of those?
I didn't have that kind of time. Okay. Hey, good luck to Bill Conforti. We were just talking about Bill off the air just a second ago. Tonight, Chicago Golden Gloves Boxing. This is tonight at Cicero Stadium. A tournament will be featuring Hamlin Park's finest. And that is... I'm going to try.
Sound it out.
Abel Asandairo.
Yeah.
Abel Asandairo. Anyway, Cicero Stadium tonight. Great Golden Gloves boxing, 7 o'clock. I hope you can make it if you're into it, and you should be.
Can I say huge thanks to Bill Conforti? Because my gutter blew off in the last windstorm. And
remember that song? Bill, give me a little bit of my gutter blew off.
It was so Bill Conforti had his team come over the next day and put up my gutter.
Bill's the best. Are you going to be on with Bill?
Yeah, during the bonus hour.
Yeah, I'm on with the bonus hour with Harry today.
Oh, very nice.
Audrey announced her change of life yesterday on our show.
Oh, what, menopause?
Yeah.
I'm not.
You announced menopause
on
the show?
Yeah. Well,
is this where I'm supposed to announce if I have menopause?
Yeah. No, this is, I didn't, actually, I'm not going through menopause.
Actually, you passed that.
Oh, okay.
Mean men.
She's making an awesome career shift.
Thank you, Mary.
That don't know, so nothing to do with menopause. Yeah,
thank you, Mary.
It'd be very odd if that was a new thing we were doing here, announcing menopause.
God, thank you.
Mondays.
The following listeners have menopause.
I wanted to announce it on the Steve Cochran show, but.
Yeah, suddenly everyone else. Said. I was surprised when he announced it on The Great Outdoors.
on the weekend break, Saturdays and Sundays.
And then I found out she actually sneaked it on the Lutheran Hour last week.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Praise be.
I was talking about you this weekend, and I didn't have time to do this, but I was going to give away, because of the Star Wars convention in town,
yeah,
I was going to give away your home address and and the keypad lock-in for your collection.
So people could take my toys if they wanted.
Priceless Star Wars memorabilia.
Yes.
And then before I could even get that out, who was I talking to? Somebody on the show, I guess it was Dean, said, well, don't steal them, but take them out of the box and play with them.
That's worse. Yeah, don't do that.
God forbid you should touch one of his toys. He'll probably put a lock on the brake front.
My mom sold my Millennium Falcon in a garage
sale. Ah. Oh.
Yeah.
And it was an actual real Millennium Falcon.
It was the real Millennium Falcon?
Yeah. Oh,
that's a thing. We drank the Billy beer mom said not to drink.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
I can't believe what happened to you, Harry Tonowitz.
Sad, isn't it?
You used to live such a straight and honorable life.
Straight and narrow.
It's the menopause.
It is.
What are you guys doing on the regular show before Andrea joins you on the bonus hour?
We will tell you the strange, strange reason by which a woman crashed her car in New York.
And Snapple caps.
And left her cell phone in the car.
The strange reason a woman crashed your car in New York. Mm-hmm. And more?
No, that's it.
Oh, that's the whole show?
That's it. 3 hours. You think that'll hold up for 180 minutes?
That'd
I think it will. It
good.
Should. Yeah.
We're going to come back Monday and try to fix whatever happened here today. Andrea, congratulations again.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you next week.
Yes, you will.
I've invited myself on your show for my show.
As Andrea's goodbye tour continues.
Nice goodbye tour.
And she's not even leaving. Harry Tonowitz, you're on the beat this weekend?
Yes, I'll be on the beat tomorrow at 6 o'clock with Mark Carman. Mark will be awake by 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
And he's going to be on with you right now?
And Carm? Yeah, sure.
No, Harry, Bill's on, you're on with me.
Yeah, I'm on with Bill.
Yeah.
But Carm's all around White Sox baseball this weekend. They're in the Bronx. I don't know if you heard or not.
I did hear. We just talked about Farmer. Farmer. Dave, what are you doing this weekend?
I will be around. I will be actually auctioneering tomorrow night the Northwestern Gridiron Network.
Oh, that's a big deal.
Night for Victory.
Well, good.
At the Hotel Godfrey. Looking forward to that.
Support the foundation, right?
Absolutely.
Can I say what I'm doing, too?
And what are you doing?
Record Fest on Saturday for WGN-TV and I Heart Halal on Sunday.
Who doesn't heart halal?
Steve, what are you doing this weekend?
We're out of time. But thank you to Jen DeSalvo. Jen DeSalvo for getting it done for us. Thank you, Jen, for filling in as well.
Anytime.
And Steve's up next, but first this.